Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. We welcome you, whether you're joining us in this room or whether you're joining us on Facebook. It's good to see everyone out. There's not a week gone by that I didn't hope that we were getting back to some sort of normalcy, and it does now seem every day something happens that makes me think maybe we're getting closer and closer to getting back to whatever that normal was. Maybe not necessarily our normal wasn't so good. Maybe we've used this opportunity to further our endurance and our patience and for certainly our long suffering. And I appreciate that so much with this congregation. I've enjoyed going through this series and talking about Ecclesiastes, and I hope this process maybe of being disillusioned with the illusions has been positive and not a negative thing. Let me just start this morning, see if you've heard any of these phrases. If you want something done right, what do? You do it yourself, right? You've heard that before. Or this is too important to leave up to chance. Maybe you've said or you've thought about things that way, that if this has to be done, if this needs to be done right, it's too important to leave it up to chance. Sort of just even thinking about those phrases, it makes me tired. Just thinking that this thing is so important that I have to do it and no one else can do it right, and I have to make sure that it's done just the way I do it, and if I don't do it, and it's really exhausting. But I also think in our culture, we like to be exhausted. In fact, I think we like to wear our exhaustion around like a badge of honor. We like to show people how hard we work and how little we rest. And then we really do believe that if we don't do all of these things, or if we don't do these things or oversee all of these things personally, that they will fall apart. And that we have to make sure that they have to get done just the way we want them to be done. And what we end up being is just being incredibly tired and busy all the time. No matter how old you are, whether you're working full time or you're retired, or whether you're in school or working or at home or whatever it is, we are often so busy and so tired trying to build something or fix something or sell something or maybe become something, and we're just chasing and chasing and chasing. And what we're trying to do is trying to find this idea of success. And by success, we mean, what is the outcome? How are things going to work out? We want to ensure the right outcomes. That's really why we believe in the back of our minds that if we don't do it, if we just leave it up to chance or whoever, if we don't do it personally, then it won't work out right. We have to control the outcome. We have to make sure this, whatever this is, turns out the right way. And we think that if we work hard enough or long enough or smart enough, that then we can control the outcomes. But that too really is an illusion. Controlling the outcome is an illusion, and we need to become illusioned or disillusioned with that idea of control. That if we work long enough or hard enough or smart enough, that we can control how things turn out. That really is an illusion. And the book of Ecclesiastes helps to unburden us with that illusion, because that illusion that we can control the outcomes, that is making us exhausted. It's wearing us out. And it's really time to stop wearing that as a badge of honor. It's time to stop operating under the illusion of controlling the outcomes, because really we're just not going to do that. And as soon as we accept that we're not going to control the outcomes, our life gets a whole lot better. We're going to start in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18, as we wrap up this series. Here the preacher says, "I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to a man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise or fool. He will be the master of all of which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity." And this is one of the reasons why you can't control the outcomes, because you're going to have to leave it up to someone else. Someone else is going to pick up where you left off in lots of different ways, not just when we die. We'll talk about that in a second, but in all kinds of different ways. You're going to retire and stop doing that job. Your life situation is going to change. You're going to move. Your kids are going to graduate. Whatever it is, things are going to change, and someone is going to pick up where you leave off. You're not in control of how this turns out, because you're not the only person contributing to the outcomes, right? Other people are contributing too, and you have control over a little bit for a little while, over just a little bit of things. But someday, someone is going to be the master of all of the things over which you've toiled. And for some of us, that drives us crazy. I can't leave it up to someone else, because who knows how those fools are going to treat it, right? Who knows what they're going to do? Just like the preacher says here in Ecclesiastes, I worked really hard, and then someone else might mess up everything I've done. And he says, I hated it. He says, when I realized that everything I built and done and invested in, somebody else is going to come along and they're going to be the master over which I've toiled, and who knows how they're going to handle it. They might, there's a very good chance, they might mess up everything I have done. And that, for some of us, we want to hold on to everything forever. I want to be the master of this, because only I can make sure this turns out right. And if I don't do it, then who will? Him? Those people? Seriously? That's what we think. I can do these things to make them turn out right. And this too will become so important that we can't leave it up to chance. And if you want something done right, what do you have to do? You have to do it yourself. And the writer of Ecclesiastes says, you can't do that. I've tried. It doesn't work. You can't hold on to it forever. I'm going to be done, and somebody else is going to pick up where I left off. And who knows, again, what they're going to do with it. So you're not the only one contributing to the outcomes. Lots of somebodies are doing that too, and in lots of different ways to the outcomes that whatever you are working towards. So you aren't in control of how things turn out. And of course, that can drive us crazy if we're still operating under that illusion. He continues on in verse 20. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. And another reason why you can't control the outcomes is because you may not live long enough to enjoy them, to experience them. Do you remember Jesus told a parable about this? He said there was a rich guy, a farmer, and his crops come in and they're so big and they're so great that he has so much food that he doesn't know what to do. But he says, I know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to give all the excess away to the poor, because there's all kinds of poor and hungry people out there. Is that what he said? No. Instead, he said, I'm going to prepare for the future, and I'm going to tear down my regular barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns to store up this food, and I'm just going to sit back and relax and enjoy everything that my ground has produced. And that night, God comes to him and says, you fool, this very night, your life is going to be demanded from you, and now who's going to enjoy all of this stuff you've prepared for yourself? Not you. He said, I thought I could control the outcomes. I know what the outcome is going to be, so I need to be prepared. I'm working hard enough and long enough and smart enough, then I can prepare for a future. And God says, guess what? You don't know the future. You don't know the end of this story. Now, it is not wrong to prepare for the future, but it is wrong to prepare for a future that may not happen, in that we fail to be generous in the present moment. Sometimes we fail to be generous in the present because we are so focused on trying to control the future that we don't have any control of, really, that we don't have any control of anyway. And so we fail to see the needs that are right in front of us because we're operating under this idea that if I work hard enough or long enough or smart enough, then I can control how this story ends. And God says, you have no idea. So in the moment, you need to be generous. Verse 22 says, what has a man from all the toil and striving of heart of which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. This steps on my toes. I don't know about yours. This hits where I live. This is where we're trying to control things that we cannot control. How does that feel? Again, it's like every metaphor we've used in this series. It's like building a sandcastle right on the edge of the ocean, and the first wave comes and knocks it down, and then you build another one as if you're in control, whether or not another tide washes that away too. The preacher says that's exhausting. It's sorrowful. It's vexing to try and control things you cannot control. He says even in the night, his heart does not rest. Have you ever lost sleep over something that you can't control? You don't have any control over the outcomes, but trying to control them, convincing yourself that it's all up to you. The writer here says it's sorrowful. It's vexing. It's making you angry and frustrated that you lose sleep. You cannot rest when you think that you're in control of how things turn out. And again, Ecclesiastes wants to relieve us of this burden of the illusion, because controlling the outcomes is just that. It is an illusion. Verse 24 says, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God, for apart from him, who can eat or can have enjoyment? So the question here, is it all just random? If I can't control how things turn out, if I don't get to enjoy all of the things I worked for and things don't work out just like I want them to, then is all of this just random? And the answer is no. It's not random. It's a gift from God. God is the one who controls the outcomes and the joys of the journey, the little pleasures along the way. And there are a million of them. Things to eat and drink, enjoyments to have, even enjoyment in your work. It's God who gives these things as a gift to us. But here's the thing. When we are trying to control the outcomes, when we fail to recognize the hevel of it all, the smoke, the vanity of all of this stuff we are chasing, then we miss out on the joy. We don't enjoy things along the way. We're robbing ourselves of the enjoyment because we think if I work hard enough or long enough or smart enough, then I can control the outcomes. It reminds me of a guy, not me, I promise it's not me, all the time, whose favorite team isn't necessarily a very good team, and so he hardly ever watches them on TV because he's convinced the games he watches on TV, they lose, and the games he skips, they win. He has so convinced himself that the outcome of this professional ball game hundreds of miles away depended on whether or not he tuned in. And so he operated under this illusion and robbed himself of the joy of watching his team play. And you can say, and you can look at that and say, that's silly, but we are really in essence doing the same thing too. We have so convinced ourselves that the outcomes are up to us. If we just work hard enough or long enough or smart enough, if we just invest all of our life into this thing, then this thing's going to work out just the way we want it to. But then when it doesn't, and not only does it not work out how we think it's going to, but we've also missed out on the joy along the way. We failed to enjoy those moments. How many moments with our kids? How many moments with our spouse, with our church family, with our neighbors? How many moments just enjoying life and the simple pleasures because we were operating under the wrong set of ideas? operating under the illusion of controlling the outcome. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, it's all from God anyway, but both the outcomes and the joys of the journey are gifts from God. He's the one. If you have food to eat, it's not because you controlled that outcome. It's because God gave that to you. You didn't work hard enough. It's because God gave it to you. If we have something to enjoy, we should say thank you, God. Not thank you, hands, or thank you, feet, or thank you, brain, but thank you, God, because this is from you. The sooner we realize that the outcomes and the joys of the journey are gifts from God, the more we can do. He will lead us to that. In verse 26, it says, for to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after the wind. This is how most people live their life over and over. They gather and they collect. And guess what? So someday it's all going to be gone. It's all a chasing after the wind, all vanity. But the writer of Ecclesiastes says, and really, as Christians, we don't talk about this enough, but he profoundly says, do you know what's going to happen? The Lord is going to give all of it to the one who pleases him, to his people, to those who walk by faith. We have this tendency sometimes to look out into the world and we see all these people getting ahead, it seems, by any means necessary. And we look at them and they are gathering and collecting everything. And our tendency is to envy them and to say, somehow I've got to keep up with them. And the writer of Ecclesiastes says, nonsense. That's a chasing after the wind. Don't you know that the whole world is going to gather and collect, but the meek will inherit the earth? God's going to give all good things to his people because both the outcome and the joys of the journey belong to God. He's in control of them. Don't spend your life chasing the wind, gathering and collecting. Spend your life pleasing him because he's the one because the one who pleases him, God gives all good things. Here's how we could say this as we finish up. You control the output, but God controls the outcome. When you work in faith, when you rest in faith, when you enjoy life in faith and you trust God with the outcomes, then that can be the true life. The life that doesn't just end in work because it's all heaven anyway. We don't just say that. Don't work because it's all nonsense. No, we say work, but work by faith. Work to please him. The output is up to you. The outcome is up to God. You work in faith. Your output is in faith. You say, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to rest, or I'm going to enjoy. I'm going to do all of this by faith. And when we work by faith and we do all of those things by faith, we can trust God with the outcomes. When our output is not by faith, that's when it's a waste of time. Whatever it is that we're doing, resting or enjoying ourselves or working hard, when our output is not by faith, it's a waste of time. But when our output is by faith, when we walk by faith and work in faith, it is not a waste of time. In fact, I don't think we can finish this series without 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, where Paul says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is what? Not in vain. Your labor's not in vain in the Lord. And isn't that what the preacher of Ecclesiastes has been saying as well? The one who pleases him, God gives all good things. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When your output is by faith, you can trust God with the outcome. Well, we have all of these great and grand outcomes sometimes in our minds, and they are a chasing after the wind. And God says, wait, I have a better outcome for you anyway. I want to give you every good thing. You're my children, and I want to give you every good thing. My outcome is better than your outcome, but you have to trust me. You cannot control the outcome. Your output has to be by faith. Paul will say in 1 Corinthians 3 that most work that people do will be like straw. And on the day of judgment, it's going to be burnt up. But there is work that will last into the next life, into the resurrection. And that's work that is founded on Jesus. So when we work in the Lord and we rest in the Lord and we do so by faith, we please Him, then the outcomes are better than we can imagine. So we control the output and God controls the outcome. When you do good works in the name of Jesus and because of Jesus, and you share the good news of Jesus, when you work so well in your job and you do so to please God, then you reflect the goodness of God in your workplace, in your school, and in whatever you're doing, that your labor is not in vain. But again, if you work not by faith and trusting in yourself to work hard or long or smart enough, then you're still not going to control the outcome anyway. You control the output. God controls the outcome. I think that's what we're saying when we're baptized. We're saying, Lord, I trust you with the outcome. I trust you with how this story is going to end. And when we have that kind of trust, then God relieves us of the burden of us thinking that we are in control of the outcome. This morning, if there's someone here that's ready to be baptized into Jesus, to trust him with the outcomes, and not just the outcome of my eternity, but everything from this point forward, to live by faith and in Jesus' name. Maybe this morning you need to recommit yourself, or you need prayers or encouragement. If we can help you in any way, please make that need known as together we stand and we sing.